What that represents, what you're holding between your fingers, is 2,000 years. It's 2,000 years of the Adam and his history. 2,000 years. Now, what's interesting about this is that Moses, in his writing, he goes back to the beginning because he's trying to give them a historical framework in which to look at where they are today in Exodus chapter 19. So he goes back to the beginning. He says, in the beginning, God. Or in the word, therefore, beginning simply means in the first, or the first fruit, the first of things, the first in order, the first in rank. He said, God. And then he began to write to us about how that God began to manifest himself in what we call creation. Amen. With the apex of that in day six being man. A man in his image. Now, I would suggest to you now that this may not necessarily be the first time that people have been on earth, but is the first recorded instance that we have of a man in the image and likeness of God. That's what we have the first of here. A man given the assignment of dominion, where he's going to rule, he's going to manage the earth. That is his job assignment. So therefore, he's got to dress and keep the garden. He starts there as a dresser. He's a servant keeper, a servant manager, and as one that will guard the garden, keep the garden. He's going to be somebody that will be a watchman, because that's what the word means, watchman, simply implying that there's probably an enemy out there somewhere. Now, we know that that enemy appears in Genesis chapter 3, but in chapter 2, you see, when in his dominion assignment, what God does is he gives the man a place in which he is to begin to work out his assignment. He's going to understand it. He's going to work with, in the sense of work and toil, or work where it is laborious and just absolutely wears you out and you don't want anything to do with it. No, God created man to work in this earth, and we'll never get by that. So you won't find Steve having anything for lazy folk. My mother's name was Carrie Bell Smith Everett, and she didn't raise any lazy sons, daughters either. We worked. That's part of the program. And so if you've got children that don't want to work, that just want to hang around the house and eat, well, this is what Paul said to you. If you don't work, you don't eat. But that's my baby. You're fooling yourself. No, they're going to eat up all your grocery. Run you right out of money. And there's some things that it requires a little bit of tough love about, okay? So God said, listen, you're going to learn things about yourself and this environment that you're in, but you're going to learn it through work. Yeah. And so thus he had this assignment there. And then the Lord brought the creation to him. Remember that? He brought the lower creation to him and to see what he would name them, because that was his first act of managing. And whatever he called them, remember the story? That's what they were. God didn't even superimpose his opinion over any of it. The Lord just says, okay, you call it that. That's what it is then. And we see this man here functioning in the earth. And later on, God says, wait a minute. Now, when I brought the creation to him, everything had a complement. Everything had, if you will, an opposite. But the man doesn't.
That's right. Come on.
The man was alone.
Amen.
That's why aloneness affects a man a whole lot more than it does a woman. Because God said he was alone.
Come on now.
He says, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to produce a helper. A helpmeet. And what that, in the Hebrew, what that means is one that is capable of standing face to face with him as an equal.
Yeah, that's right.
Function will be different, but yet they will be equal.
Equal.
Because both are tangibly important to what God is going to produce in the earth called dominion.
Yes.
So he takes a rib from the man, come on, and he builds the womb man. And notice, God didn't name her. No. Read it carefully. Adam was the one that named her.
Come on.
When God presented her, Adam said, "This is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. She shall be called woman." And so what happens, there's man with a womb now. And once that occurred, Adam realized that he had a helper. Hallelujah. And as long as they stayed within the plan of God, they were naked and unashamed. That simply means that they were transparent. There was no reason for them to hide from one another because they weren't hiding from God. Oh, yeah. So there they are walking together to carry out this great dominion assignment. Now, another important point here is that when he named her, see, anything you name, you nature.
That's right.
And what he was doing there was calling her into his reality so that they could walk side by side. It was never the intent of God that one gender would dominate over the other or cause the other to become inferior and produce all of these issues that we have today. What redemption did was restored the platform by which we could correct and rectify this thing.
Yes.
Well, hallelujah. And now we introduce to chapter 3, and you know what the serpent was all about. He was more subtle. That word is the opposite end of the word, naked. You see, if you refuse to walk in transparency, what you're agreeing to is to become subtle and cunning. Because you're going to hide stuff. Oh, yeah. Whether it's the money or whatever it might be. You know how we are. I dealt with, you know, families in the church, and husbands had secret bank accounts, wives had secret bank accounts, and they're looking at each other shocked and amazed in my office, and I'm saying, "Oh God, how am I going to navigate through this one?" No, the intent is that we will walk transparently before the Lord and with really one another. And so the serpent comes to the man with a womb because he knows by principle, if you're going to release or produce anything in the earth now, it's got to come through a womb. And so Paul says later that a man is not greater than a woman, nor a woman greater than a man. He says a man can exist without a woman, and if he's going to come into the earth now, he comes through the woman. But neither is the woman without the man. Are you hearing me here? You see, come on, it's a domestic order here that God establishes. And if we will follow the protocol of God, we'll see blessing in the family. And Moses begins to talk about this, the covenantal nature of God, and he goes all the way back and he talks about it. He talks about the chaos that's created by that decision that was in Genesis chapter 3, and then he begins to show us how that the descendants of Adam began to spread out. They began to move eastward away once Adam was out of the garden. I love this cartoon that some children said, "Draw something that you know about God." And so one little boy drew this picture with this car and this long-bearded old man driving the car and two naked people in the back seat. And so they asked him, they said, "This is an interesting picture. What do you do?" He said, "Oh, that's just God driving Adam and Eve out the garden." So if you're like me, you're going to ask him, "Well, what kind of car did God have since he was driving a car?" He says, "Oh, he had a Fury, a Plymouth Fury." He drove him out in his Fury. But we see them continue here going eastward, and what we see is that confusion is mounting. It's growing, it's escalating because they have walked away from their source of life, their God. So all of these maladies enter into the human experience, and thus you must create vocabulary to describe these things. Because prior to Genesis chapter 3, there was no such thing as disease.
Yes, that's right.
sickness, poverty, broken relationships.